Amen. I believe that the most beautiful scenes in the Upper Peninsula involve the sunsets over Lake Superior. Every one of the sunsets, they seem different. Some are orange, some are deep red, some are pink, and some have purple backgrounds. I am always in awe when Ginger and I are at the lake watching the sun slowly come down, and we see the sun's glory and the reflection off the lake. Just a gorgeous, gorgeous scene. And it certainly is not unusual for a crowd of people to gather at these picturesque Advents. Matter of fact, many times we're down there sitting and waiting, and someone's there with a camera taking a picture as that sun comes down. How many here have gone down to the lake to see the sunsets at least once in their life? There you go. Now, how many of you have taken pictures? There you go. There you go. And when we have friends and family in to visit us, how many of you take your friends and family to see the sunset down the lake? There you go. Just go down there, lay your eyes on this spectacular setting of the sun. It's a great feeling to share this experience with others. And we do many times, whether we take people down there or whether we show them pictures of the great, great Lake Superior. And then we look at that with awe and fascination. Just that sight. And fascination, just not over the sunset, but over the lake. Sometimes it's shimmering. Sometimes there's 4 or 5 foot waves. You just don't know what to expect. With that in mind, just thinking about the sunset, can you just imagine the first Christmas? Can you imagine the excitement of the presence, to be in the presence of the Christ child? The child, this child who would be our Messiah, the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. I'm sure those who came were in awe. The stars were probably just as gorgeous as the sun setting on Lake Superior. Not only were the stars gorgeous, there was one star that shone among all the others. It must have been a spectacular, spectacular sight. And had there been cameras of that at that time, we probably would see the pictures of that sight with the baby Jesus and all. Some came to be before Christ because angels announced that this special child was born. Many others learned a prophecy, so they were looking for this Christ child. Whether it was through astrology, looking at this star, knowing that a big event was going to happen. Others greeted him with awe, joy, and the sense of his future triumph over evil, because this was a predicted Messiah. This was a predicted Messiah. And at that time, all of Jerusalem and all of Israel were hunting and waiting for the Messiah. And they came to adore him. They came to adore him. Adore in the dictionary means to place their affections on, to worship as divine, to love or honor with great devotion and profound love. Isn't that great? That's the definition of adore. You have to wonder why we all who we believe are faithful don't want to be in that presence every day. Why don't we want to see that heartfelt sunset every day? Why don't we want to take mental pictures of it and take our families down to be in the presence of God, especially around Christmas? We as Christians, I know and I proclaim, we have something to rejoice about, don't we? We have something to rejoice about. And just not for around Christmas time, but every single day. And you wonder why we don't come in his presence with joy and triumph. Joy and triumph. It's, okay, God, it's me again. I got problems. We have the Eeyore syndrome, don't we? Oh, my, I'm bad. I'll go eat dirt. And instead of saying, yes, Jesus has arrived. Yes, he is here today as much as he appeared on earth 2012 years ago. This was born the King of Angels, very God, and the Word of God, who came down and became flesh. And of course, no song depicts the calling of all of us who are faithful to the Christ child than the famous hymn, Adeste Fidelis, better known as Oh Come All You Faithful, which was written many years ago by John Francis Wade. And so today we conclude our four-part series called Advent, A Season in Song, with our sermon on this song entitled Greeting the Presence of God. Greeting the Presence of God. Our scripture reading comes from Hebrews chapter 2, 5 through 9. So please turn to that. And if somebody can tell me what page it is on our pew Bible, I would enjoy that. That would be good. Hebrews chapter 2, 5 through 9. Everybody have their Bibles? The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Okay. Before I start, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say this. We have come to see the Christ child. When you say that to me. I only say that because if we don't come here to see the Christ child, there's nowhere else that he can be. Because this is his sanctuary. This is a place where he calls all those who are heavily burdened, so he may give them peace. Okay. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified. What is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. And putting everything under him, God left nothing that is subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he may taste death for everyone. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with our hearts open to adore this Christ child. A child sent with a destiny, a child that was born to die and to be resurrected again. A child that has taken away all of our sins. A child that was here for the main purpose to show God's love. Help us, Lord, as we go through this song to take in everything that you've given us in this Christ child. Help us, Lord, to be before you in joy and exaltation. Help us, Lord, to understand the magnitude of this little baby that was in this manger. I ask, Lord, that you use this church, that you put your anointing on it so that we may proclaim you in a concise and precise way as we cover the song Adeste Fidelis. More than anything, Lord, help us take the joy out of here and take it throughout the world, proclaiming that Christ the child has been born. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. The author of Adeste Fidelis, or as we know it, O Come All You Faithful, by most accounts was an English hymnist named John Francis Wade. It's interesting, this song was written a long time ago. Matter of fact, it was first published in 1743. And there's only a few of us that remember that. And but it was written in Latin. The original song, Adeste Fidelis, of course, is Latin. Adeste Fidelis means come near, all you, ye who are faithful. That's what that translates to. Interestingly enough, it was later translated into English by an Anglican minister named Frederick Oakley. And this happened about 1841, about 100 years later. So we had that this song for over 100 years in Latin before it was translated into today's English. And Oakley wrote this as an Anglican minister, but later converted to Catholicism, which is the rest of his story. And he was kind of excommunicated by the Anglican Church for his Catholic doctrine. So still the same old thing as we talked about these hymns, transitions between religions and relationships. But in any event, the original Latin hymn was written with four stanzas, and it will be these four stanzas that I'm going to cover today in this sermon. As we just imagine, as we go through these stanzas, let's just imagine us coming before this Christ child and entering into literally the presence of God, because this Christ child was fully God and fully man. So let's imagine coming to see this child, and let's cover these four stanzas as Sarah has volunteered to sing each of these stanzas in the Latin version. So we come to point one, coming to see this child with joy and triumph. Sarah? O come, all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. Webster defines faithfulness as loyalty, reliability, or dependability marked by a strong sense of duty or responsibility. And as we begin this song, it's a call to all of us, just a cry out to all of us, people who are loyal to Christ, dependable with a strong sense of responsibility, to come forward. This isn't a wimpy stuff. This is a call for all of us to state our faith, to claim our faith. And I also believe it is a call to all of us to respond to God's faithfulness to us. Get that. How many here feel that God has been faithful to them? Okay. So this is a cry of people coming before the Christ child. Not only in their own strong, steadfast faith, but also understanding God's steadfast faith towards us. And in this first stanza, we're called to come how? Joyful and what? How many times do you see hymnals picked up? Oh, come ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh. What are we thinking? Isn't the joy of the Lord our strength? Why do we have to be so solemn sometimes? We have to remember that this is the one who set us free. This is the one who eventually redeems us. and sets us free from all of our sins and sets us free of shame and blame. How many here want to be free of guilt, shame, and blame? That's joyful. And that's how we're to come to Him. Joyful and triumphant. Why are we triumphant? Because He overcame death. He overcame sin so that we may live forever. Is that joyful and triumphant? Can you feel that? He's like, yes! Yes. We're coming into the presence of God. There has to be triumph in that. There has to be joy in that. There has to be fun in that, along with humbleness and graciousness and love. Let's read some verses that cover this stanza, I think. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause
great joy."
The angels knew it. How come we don't know? I give you news that's going to cause great joy. For what? For all the people. Why? Because today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and He is the Messiah. Didn't say a Savior was born to you. He said, He's the Messiah. He is a coming Savior. Israel knew that when they heard or proclaimed Messiah. They've been hunting for this Messiah. And you can see them jump with great joy, because that's the cause of great joy, the coming of Christ. We need to cheer the fact that the Christ child has overcome sin and evil. We need to cheer that fact. And someday, when He comes again, there will be justice. We always talk about justice. Why doesn't this happen? Why doesn't this happen? There will come a day, the day of judgment, where there will be justice. And we'll be all the more joyful, because that will be the final triumph. And He takes our glorified bodies up with Him. I like that. Another reason to be joyful and triumphant. But you know, even John the Baptist's daddy, Zacharias, knew about this Christ child. And here's what he prophesied in Luke 1:68-69. And he's joyful, and it didn't even happen yet. His son John the Baptist was born, but Jesus was not yet born. And here's the vision he got. "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come to His people and redeemed them. He has raised a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David." We certainly have something to celebrate. We certainly have something to be joyful about. We certainly have something to say. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. We come to this Jesus, number two, with adoration of the begotten Son of God. God of God, light of light, lo, He abhors not the virgin's womb. Very God, begotten, not created. Sometimes we take this birthday deal just too lightly. We must remember, who is this child? Who is this child that's come to us? Well, he's fully God. God of God. He is fully God. He was a light, light of light. He was a light who came into the world to overcome the darkness. That's a punctuation mark. The second stanza is a punctuation mark defining who this Christ child is. It's important to us. It's very important to us because he says, the stanza says, very God. 100% God. And 100% man. Very God. He was begotten, not created. He was begotten and not created. He was fully man and did not despise. He didn't despise being born in a womb, but entered into the world as we all enter into the world. Entered into the world as we all entered into the world. He was begotten. You hear that? It was not created. Jesus always was and always will be. He is part of the triune. Man is created. Angels are created. Jesus always was. Always was. Let's go to the scripture. Hebrews 12:28 tells us this. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. He's God of God. He's very God. He's not begotten. He is begotten, not created. He did not abhor being born in the womb because he could identify with life with every individual. He can identify from birth to death. He can identify with us. It was God that came here to be present among us. We need to worship him and adore him acceptably with reverence and awe. Reverence and awe isn't just a pious, holy thing. Reverence and awe is saying, this is God. I can be in the presence of God. Whoa! Wow, this is awesome that I can walk into the presence of God. That's what this song means. No mess around, God of God, light of light. This is this child. This is this child. 1 John 4:9 says this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we may live through him. Isn't that a marvelous verse? How did God show his love? Through his son. And what did his son do? His son went to the cross for us. And in that, the love is shown, and how can we not come in adoration to the only begotten Son of God, and how can we not adore him? So, ladies, will you join me? Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We come into his presence singing as the angels sing to exalt the King. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God in the highest. Do you realize that when we sing before God, especially this song, who do we sing with? We sing with the angels. Not only the angels, we sing with the citizens of heaven above. We sing with Elizabeth Gillis. We sing with my dad. We sing to those who were past loved ones that have entered in the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't that give you a different perspective of singing the song before God? Doesn't it? We do this on this greatest day. Glory to God in the highest. You know, angels are amazed by this Christ child. Because angels peer down from heavens to see the redemption of man. They marvel at God's grace through this child because redemption is not available to them. Redemption, the sending of the Christ child, was made available to us. And the angels are amazed. The angels are amazed that the King of Angels would lower himself to be lower than the angels for our redemption. For our redemption. So the angels are going, wow, this is good stuff. And we're saying, let's sing together. Let's sing together. Let's read Luke 2, 13 through 14. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So the angels are praising and giving this Christ child glory, and they understand the peace of those, to those of mankind on whom his favor rests. And his favor rests on all of us who are coming to him faithfully, believing upon him, knowing of his grace. And there's peace within us. Hebrews 2, 7 through 8, which I read previously. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. What a great phrase. He was born lower than the angels, but he didn't abhor it. He did not abhor the womb. But on the cross, he died for us, had victory, and became the King of Kings and the King of Angels once again. Peter Lohman says this, Jesus may have been made little lower than the angels for a time, but his death and conquest over sin exalted him back on his rightful place as King of Angels. Isn't that great? Just to review that, isn't that great? Number 4, we come to this Christ child greeting the Word who became flesh. Yea, Lord, we greet thee. Born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be glory given, word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. I'm not sure that it is a passing yea. I'm not sure whether it's to be sung, yea, Lord, we greet thee. I think it's a resounding yes! Should we say that?
Yes.
Why do I know that? Yes, Lord, we greet thee, born this what? Happy morning. This hymn is no drudgery. It's a hymn of joy and exaltation, and we can always say, yes! That's what we're here for. Because Jesus came down. He came down here to be in man's flesh. But everything that we heard from Him was directly from the throne of God. The Christ who said in the Gospel of John, you see me, you see the Father. I say nothing unless it comes from the Father. God sent His Son down because His Son was a carbon copy of who He was. And everything that the Father did, the Son did. And if you say, no one has ever seen God, well, you're not looking at Christ. Because that's the presence that came down here. John 14:10 says this, the words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. We not only see the truth from this Jesus as we read the accounts of Him walking on earth. We not only see the truth, but we hear the truth. He is the Word of God. He was sent here to talk to us in God language. He was here to perform to us that only a man of God could perform, or only deity could perform. Like miracles and those types of things. Let's read John 1:1-5, then 14. This is important. Because you need to know that in the beginning, Jesus was here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's a marvelous, marvelous passage. That's why this stanza is just represents basic Bible doctrine. Word of the Father now in flesh appearing. God said, no one has seen me, but they're going to see the Son. If they see the Son, they see me. It became flesh so that we know that we can never say, well, God wouldn't know this, or God wouldn't know the troubles I've seen. We can't say that because Jesus did. Jesus, fully man, fully God. We can't put one over on Jesus as far as feeling pain, feeling rejection, being whipped and ridiculed and crucified. The Word came down here, became flesh and lived among us. And the Word continues. So we need to ask ourselves, why would we not adore Him? So let's have the whole congregation sing the chorus. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. So here we are in America, where only 37% of our adult population thought that the birth of Jesus was the most important aspect of Christmas. And the rest are afraid to invite Him in to His own birthday party. Let me tell you this story that came from Bible.org. Two women who were having lunch in an elegant hotel were approached by a mutual friend who asked the occasion for the meal. One lady replied, "We're celebrating the birth of my baby boy." "But where is he?" inquired the friend. "Oh," said the mother, "you didn't think I'd bring him, did you?" You ready for the punchline? What a picture of the way the world treats Jesus at Christmas. Picture of the world. lighter side, we got to show a corny cartoon. So watch it if you have too many lights, because you may be visited by three wise guys. And so the caption here says, "I think your lights might be too bright this year." So, this time of the year, to all of us Christians that are faithful, it's a glorious occasion. It's an occasion where we celebrate the birth of this Christ who has come to save the world. And the question is, why don't we greet him with joy and triumph and song and adoration, knowing that Jesus is very man, very God, begotten and not created, King of angels, and the Word of God appearing in flesh. In the fullness of time, he has come, and in the fullness of time, he will come again. Let me leave you with a C.S. Lewis quote. "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become the sons of God." Isn't that beautiful? Let me leave you with this story, and then we'll close. This story was contributed by a Rob Short. In 1994, two Christian missionaries answered an invitation from the Russian Department of Education to teach morals and ethics in a large orphanage. About 100 boys and girls who had been abandoned, abused, and left in the care of a government-run program were in the orphanage. It was nearing Christmas, and they decided to tell them the story of Christmas. It would be the first time these children had heard the story of the birth of Christ. They told them about Mary and Joseph arriving in Bethlehem. Finding no room in the inn, the couple went to a stable where the baby Jesus was born and placed in a manger. Throughout the story, the children and the orphanage staff sat in amazement as they listened. Some sat on the edges of their stools, trying to grasp every word. When the story was finished, they gave the children three small pieces of cardboard to make a crude manger. Each child was given a small paper square cut from yellow napkins that they had brought with them, since no colored paper was available in the city. Following instructions, the children tore the paper and carefully laid strips in the manger for straw. Small squares of flannel cut from a worn-out nightgown of an American lady was thrown away as she left Russia, were used for the baby's blanket. A doll-like baby was cut from tan felt, which the missionaries had also brought with them. It was all going smoothly until one of the missionaries sat down at a table to help a six-year-old boy named Misha. He had finished his manger. When the missionary looked at the little boy's manger, she was startled to see not one, but two babies in the manger. Quickly, she called for the translator to ask Misha why there were only two babies in the manger. Crossing his arms in front of him and looking at this completed manger scene, Misha began to repeat the story very seriously. For such a young boy who had only heard the Christmas story once, he related the happenings accurately until he came to the part where Mary put the baby Jesus in the manger. Then Misha started to ad-lib. He made up his own ending. He said, "And when Maria laid the baby in the manger, Jesus looked at me and asked me if I had a place to stay. I told him, I have no mama and I have no papa, and so I don't have a place to stay. Then Jesus told me I could stay with him. But I told him I couldn't because I didn't have a gift to give him like everybody else did. But I wanted to stay with Jesus so much, so I thought about what I had that may be I could use for a gift. I thought maybe if I kept him warm, that would be a good gift. So I asked Jesus, if I keep you warm, that would be a good gift. So I asked Jesus, if I keep you warm, will that be a good enough gift? And Jesus told me, if you keep me warm, that will be the best gift anybody ever gave me. So I got in the manger, and then Jesus looked at me, and he told me I could stay with him for always." As little Misha finished his story, his eyes brimmed full of tears that splashed down his little cheeks. Putting his hand over his face, his head dropped to the table. And his shoulders shook as he sobbed and sobbed. There in that manger, the little orphan had found someone who would never abandon nor abuse him. Someone who would stay with him for always. And that, dear congregation, is why we adore him today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we approach you with joy and knowing the triumph of the Christ child that came to us 2012 years ago. Help us, Lord, never ever to take this lightly. Help us, Lord, to be happy in the fact. Help us, Lord, to sing in exaltation. Help us, Lord, to understand the deity of this child being all God and the humanity of this child being all man. Help us, Lord, to be able to sing with angels and proclaim this Christ child who was the Word of God that dwelt among us, that gave us a glimpse of exactly the nature of God through His Son. Dear Lord, in this Christmas time, there are probably people out there hurting, maybe hurting right here in this congregation. People that don't trust this Christ child, but want to crawl in with him in that manger so they can be loved and never abandoned again. I'm asking this question with every head bowed and every eye closed, that if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, maybe this Christmas season is a day of your salvation. You're probably saying, Pastor Murrow, what would I do? What do I say? I say to you, you repent of your sins and say, Lord, I don't want to live that life anymore. And you run to Him and say, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I accept this Christmas story. I accept everything that was said today. I accept Him and I want to make that commitment to Him. And I want to get in that manger so I'm never, ever, ever, ever abandoned and left alone, because you will always be with me. If there's somebody here that has prayed from their heart that prayer, I'd like to know. Anybody here who has accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, I need to know so I can pray for you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I ask that if anybody accepted Christ today, that they put their hand up and right back down. Thank you. Anybody else, put your hand up. Right back down. Dear Lord, we love you so much. Wow, we love this Christ child so much. How can we not sing this song with such excitement and exuberance and say, yes, our Savior has come. And I pray these things from my heart to my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.